Whether you're moving to Australia with friends or on your own, you never want to feel alone. And while it can take some time to find your feet, there's lots of ways to make new friends in your new home. Hello and welcome back to Nursing Down Under. Today I'm joined by Rachel Rush. Originally from Dublin, Rachel arrived in Australia as the pandemic was kicking off around the world. She quickly found herself heading up a team of nurses at an aged care facility that was experiencing one of the deadliest outbreaks in the country. The following year, Rachel was subcontracted through Alliance Nursing to a management role coordinating the vaccine rollout across the country. Since then, Rachel's become lost and found in Sydney. She runs get-togethers and fun activities to get out, make new friends, and have a great experience here in Australia. Rachel, it's so nice to see you.
Nice to see you too again.
Yeah, it has been a little while now. When we last caught up was back in 2021, I believe. We did some filming about your work during the pandemic. Have you had an opportunity to reflect on your life over that time?
Yeah, well, that was a really different time in my life when we met up last. I had been working flat out in the COVID vaccination rollout. And since then, I have done a lot. I have experienced a lot more than when I had last seen you. I worked in that job until January this year. So I worked about full-time and overtime for 2 years in that role. So I didn't really have much time to experience Australia the way that I wanted to experience it. I didn't have much time to make friends. And especially at that time that I had moved over, I got in the day that COVID was announced. So the WHO announced the pandemic the day that I touched down in Australia, which was a really difficult time to land in on your own and try to make friends and find your feet. So yeah, I just threw myself into work, like in the nursing home that we had previously talked about in the last time we were meeting up, and in the vaccination rollout. And I realized that my whole life was work in Australia and I needed to do something different. So I started Lost and Found last August. So it was just a year in August, just gone. And it was more for me to make friends with people. I just didn't know how to go out and do it. You know, I'm 30 now, but I was 29. I was like, I'm near this age. How do you make new friends? Like, you know, how do you just go up to someone and say, do you want to be my friend?
It's not like a childhood friends where you just have them forever. Exactly. You've got to actually go out and find that connection with someone as an adult. As
and that's it. And I think because I was in it for myself and I really wanted to make friends, so I was doing things every day, every evening, before and after work, it was more enjoyable for me and I wanted to do it more and I had my whole heart in it. So it just grew so quickly. I think within the first 2 weeks, I had about 1,000 followers. And then every month I grew an extra 1,000 and an extra 1,000. And luckily I've been able to meet the majority of those people through it. But I continued to work with Alliance and run Lost and Found the whole way through. And it's been great as well to tell the nurses coming over about my experiences, which I'm sure we'll get into as well.
So obviously we've heard a little bit about how you started Lost and Found, but you know, what sort of things do you do? Because I do keep on top of your social media. You're busy, aren't you?
Yeah, it's busy. I have a lot of stories. We kind of do everything. So still now, it's for me to still make friends. Like I still love meeting all the new people coming in. So whatever I want to do, I do it. So if I want to go to the Blue Mountains, I'll say, I'm going to the Blue Mountains. Does anyone want to come? If I want to go to a comedy show, it's like, I want to go to the comedy show. Does anyone want to come with me? So it's not like it's work. It's not difficult at all because it's just a social thing for me and for everyone. So this weekend, I had 30 people go to the races. I had 30 people go on a boat party. I got free tickets from one of the boat parties and I ran a competition. I actually just gave everyone a ticket. We went to the competition. But it was really nice because I messaged them like, oh, congratulations, you won. But I had just gone through and given everyone a ticket. And then the next day we went to the Blue Mountains. Tonight we have Sunset Walking Club. I have a boat party coming up as well. Like there's just constantly something happening. I'm actually in the works on doing something on Wednesday. I'm very last minute. Like I just keep thinking of things and then I'll just, whatever evening I have free, I do it. So Wednesday is long-term residents of Sydney night. So it's for people who've been here for a long time, maybe have their permanent residency like I do now, and they're finding it difficult because people go home or, you know, go and do their farm work.
So have you been surprised by, you know, just how quickly that community, you've grown that lost and found community, and what sort of people are coming on these adventures with you?
Yeah, no, it's grown so rapidly. And like, even when I go out and people stop me and say, oh my God, you're lost and found in Sydney, I'm like, really? You know who I am? What? All types of people come. So because I'm a girl and I'm from Ireland, I tend to attract girls from Ireland to come and join in on the events. But, you know, you get people from all different nationalities joining in as well. You do get a lot of Australians. A lot of the girls who come, and guys, a lot of the girls who come who are Australian maybe have moved from, you know, Perth, and they don't know anyone in Sydney. Or one of the girls is from Penrith and she moved to Coogee and she didn't know anyone. So it's not just expat communities, it's anyone who wants to make friends.
And of course, I've got to add, you also have Lost and Found in Melbourne and Lost and Found in Perth. So you're operating like social events in other states as well. How does that work?
It's difficult. So I had group chats for Melbourne, Perth, like all the different states in Australia. And it was a little bit too difficult for me to run the group chats because people couldn't get into them and there was tech issues, might I say. And then I got some volunteers to run Melbourne and I got some volunteers to run Perth. So I was like, girls, here's the password, do whatever you want with it. Like anything big, pass by me. But if you want to do a sunset, a sunrise, like whatever you want to do, just pop it up on the page, pop it up on the story. So Perth have just done a 37-person bottomless brunch. Yeah. It was a Barbie-themed one, which is nice. And then next week, they're going to Rottnest Island and Melbourne. They do their sunrises every Saturday. Or not sunrises, coffee mornings. Melbourne's not a sunrise state. It's a late night state, not an early morning one. But yeah, they just run it themselves and then they pass it by me and I share it on Lost and Found in Sydney as well. So it's more of a community. So Lost and Found, my face is on that one. The other ones, the girls are running it and they just put their whole heart and soul into it as well.
Now, of course, you're not only doing this, which sounds very much like a full-time job to me, but you're also juggling your nursing career as well. Tell us a bit about, you know, your career. Obviously, you worked in a management role during the pandemic, but, you know, what have you done so far prior to coming to Australia and then also since you've been here?
So I qualified as a nurse in Dublin. So I worked in St. James's Hospital and I worked in the haemophilia area and I worked in emergency. I worked in an infusion clinic. So it was a really clinical background that I had. And when I arrived in Australia during that part of the pandemic, everything shut down. All the surgeries, the elective surgeries were cancelled. So there wasn't much clinical work because the surgical nurses were doing all the agency work. So I was just like, anything that they ring through with, I'm taking it.
You're probably a bit of a panic at that point where you went, I've just moved to a new country and what I was planning on doing, they're not doing.
Yeah, there was like no work for any nurses. So it was a really tough time. And then they called through with a nursing home that had an outbreak. And I was like, yeah, I don't know where it is, but I'll do it. You know, I need some money in the bank account. And I threw everything I had into it. I remember some of the girls who ended up becoming good friends of mine said that I was a bit of a suck up. They didn't, my best friend now, she was like, I didn't really like you that much to the start because I was like trying to get my claws in so that, you know, get your foot in the door, try as hard as you can. And it worked because I climbed the ladder in that and I went in as a communications nurse and became the communications manager. I got to network and meet different people. And then that opened all the doors for me in the rest of my career in Australia. So through Alliance, I ended up, you know, working in outbreaks, managing nursing homes. I worked in hotel quarantine. And then I went to manage the vaccination program in Victoria, Western Australia, New South Wales, and eventually became the national manager of COVID vaccinations for Australia's vulnerable populations, again, through Alliance, just subcontracted to a company.
How did you first hear about Alliance?
So I wanted to go to Australia for quite some time and I never knew how to kind of do it. And I was working in the Bon Secours in Dublin in an infusion clinic. And one of the girls was like, I'm moving to Australia in April. I've got onto Alliance Nursing. A girl called Jane is helping me to do my paperwork. And I was like, perfect, I'll do that as well. Because I wanted to go in March. So I got onto Jane. Jane helped me go through every bit of detail to get over to Australia. And it was, I thought it was going to be a difficult process because I had Jane. If I had any questions, I just kind of bounced them off her. So I got out to Australia in March, and that girl from the Bonds who I had worked with, who had wanted to go for longer than I had, she didn't make it because the lockdown happened. So she had done all of her paperwork, everything, and then Australia shut down before she could get in. So I felt a little bit bad. But she's here now. I've met up with her since, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And what sort of work are you doing at the moment? What sort of shifts are you getting now? Because obviously we've sort of put the pandemic behind us a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not behind us, but we sort of moved on.
Well, I still kind of dabbled in some of the roles. So in June, July, I took a short contract that Alliance got me with the same company again as a senior clinical admin. So I've done a lot of the senior management and clinical roles, but I wanted to get back into the hospital setting because I felt like my clinical skills were going down because I had spent so much time behind the computer and, you know, training and education and things like that. So I've started back doing a few shifts. So last week I did two night shifts that were completely different. So one was in a drug and alcohol rehab. And then the next night I worked on a maternity ward with newborn babies.
Wow.
So it was like the contrast was great for your skills as well. But also it just goes to show you like how good agency work is, because it's just every day is so different and you could end up in a different hospital with completely different patients.
And do you get much of a choice, you know, about where you're going, what time? I mean, you've got a few social activities that you've got to coordinate these shifts around.
There's an app. So Alliance Nursing has an app and they put in the open shifts. So sometimes I just pop in and see if there's any that are available for the times that I'm available, and then I'll request to go to them. Last week when I worked in one of those clinics that I was in, they asked me to come back tomorrow night. So I'll be going back in to do another night shift tomorrow. But I want to try to get more into the clinical, medical, surgical setting. So I'll pick up a few shifts there. But I'm a bit nervous to go back into the clinical setting because I've been out of it for so long. But I mean, I still know everything. It's been a while.
Is it very different to back home working in a hospital here in Australia?
Yes. So I worked in St. James's Hospital in Dublin, which was a very busy inner city Dublin hospital. The ratios were often very difficult to work in, especially in the emergency department that I worked in. And the management tried as much as they can, but they were just short-staffed and they couldn't get anybody else. So I was relatively newly qualified and I was looking after way more of a patient load than what I should have been. And all the time you're thinking, oh my God, my pin is on the line. If anything happens, it's my fault. But you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But the hospital settings here, it's actually written into their law that they have patient ratios that they have to keep to. And you'll find on a lot of the hospital floors in Australia that they actually have clinical educators going around to educate and help, you know, especially for agency staff. If they come on and, you know, you're on an oncology ward and you might not have worked in oncology, which is the agency is great, but it can be daunting sometimes because you could be going into a setting that you may not have, you know, worked in since you were a student nurse. So, you know, they're very helpful on the floor and they will show you around and teach you things if you don't know it. Like on Tuesday, I worked in a maternity ward and I haven't worked in anything like that in so long. So the girls were going through all these different clinical things that I had no idea about even. And they were like teaching me as I was going, which was good.
And so you have that, you know, ability for the nurses, they'll show you if you don't know how to do something or something is different.
Yeah. I always find with agency. So I worked a bit of agency back home in Ireland as well. And if you have your full patient load of, like say in Ireland, you have 7 patients, which would never, that's not the patient ratio load here at all. But say if you have 7 patients and you do all your work, and you don't get any thanks. But here, as an agency nurse, you do a few observations and people are coming up saying, like, thank you so much. You've done amazing. Yeah, you get a big head.
Well, that's nice to hear.
It is pretty good. There's so much thanks to it here. Like, you don't get that at all back home.
Well, speaking of home, I mean, you've been here a while now. Is Sydney home for you?
Yeah, so I just got my permanent residency on Monday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I've got so many questions coming through on Lost and Found about permanent residency because everybody kind of wants to go down that route, but they don't know the process. So I've linked up with a migration lawyer and I've done free webinars on how to apply for your permanent residency. And then I've gone through my whole process on how I've done it to help others just even start the application, start the skills assessment if they're a nurse. Like some people don't realize that when they come over, they can sometimes go straight to permanent residency if they have enough points. And it's just someone to tell them, you know, what to do. But I think now that I have the permanent residency, it's weighed off my shoulders. Don't have to worry about any visas. I would like to say Sydney would be home forever, but I'm not sure yet. It's nice to not have to worry about being forced to leave. But I do, like, I have my family at home, I have my friends, and it's always tough when you're an expat in a different country because, you know, you always do have that draw to go back. But I do get home quite regularly. I was home in July and I did an event for people moving to Australia, and Alliance Nursing were involved. And Jane, who helped me move to Australia, came down and she helped the nurses that came. And it was more my event was, you know, filling people in on everything you need to know about moving to Australia, but making friends with others that are moving, and they might be from different career paths. So it wasn't just for nurses. It was kind of for everyone.
Are you finding there are a lot of people moving over at the moment?
So many people. Oh my God. Yeah, there is a massive influx, and we can see it in the housing crisis as well, that, you know, some of the inspections, there's about 50, 60 people standing outside looking for apartments. I think everybody wants to go to Coogee, Randwick, Bondi. And they don't know about any other suburbs because all they hear about is Coogee, Randwick, Bondi. I live in Pyrmont and I lived in Surrey Hills. I've never actually lived in Coogee, Randwick or Bondi. Yeah. But yeah, for people that are moving over, there are other places to Sydney. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that must be tough if you've got all that competition and the cost of rental at the moment. I mean, that's another thing. We're talking about it here in the news.
Yeah.
Is that what expats moving over are realizing when they come?
The expense, yeah. And the bond, you know, when people touch down, they don't realize all the expenses when you first get here. So you've got your bond, you've got your furniture, you've got a few weeks if you don't have a job that you're coming straight into where you're not making any money. And Sydney can be expensive because you want to go out and you want to do everything. You're not just going to sit at home and not eat or drink anything. Like,
doesn't make for a very good time.
No. So those first few weeks, like, you're spending a lot of money going to do all the touristy things before you start into work. So yeah, a lot of people moving over, I always tell them, if you can, come over with more money, because it will be expensive and it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system when you realize that. So I've actually, on my website, lostandfoundinsydney.com, put up a free guide for moving to Australia. So I've gone through savings and visas and your TFN, phone bills, like literally everything. So it's on there if anyone wants to have a look.
Yeah, what a great resource.
Yeah.
So for anyone moving over, what advice, apart from, you know, taking a look online and getting some tips, you know, what advice would you give them to make sure they're getting the most out of their time here in Australia?
Say yes to everything. So as I was saying previously, with that job that I took in Penrith in a nursing home, not many people wanted to go and work there because it was all over the news. It was like, you know, the deadliest outbreak in Australia. But I said yes, because, you know, you just have to make money to, like, for jobs. Some people turn away jobs because it doesn't exactly fit what they want at that time, but sometimes you have to take those other kind of jobs and then work towards different roles. But with traveling, if people are going on holidays for a weekend and they ask you to go, just say yes. You know there's so much to see and there's not enough time. I feel like I've been here 3.5 years and I still have so much to do on my list. And if you don't start to plan it, like if you don't have your weekends set out and plan, the weekends just fly by and you end up, you know, maybe going down to Coogee Beach again or Bondi again. But, you know, book a flight, go to see Byron, you know, for the weekend, go and travel about a little bit.
And if you're moving over solo, I mean, do you have a lot of people alone coming to your events and trying to make friends?
Yeah, so many. And I also think that it's better to go solo to the events, because it makes you get out of your comfort zone and try a little bit harder to make those conversations with people. So often I find if someone comes in a group of like two or three, they'll kind of stay in that safe space and they won't go and talk to other people. Whereas if you're on your own, you'll try to get in and talk to new people. So even this this evening, I'm doing the Sunset Walking Club, and there's 45 people in the group chat. I put it up last night, 45 people coming so far. And a girl DM'd me and she was like, I'm a little bit nervous about coming tonight because I'm going on my own. I was like, you don't realize like most of the people in that group chat are also going on their own. And I find that I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, I'd love to go to these events and meetups, but I'm nervous about going on my own. And I was on a boat party a couple of weekends ago, and I think four or five people came up and said that exact same thing to me, like grabbed their hand. And I was like, come and meet this other girl who literally just said that, or you come and meet this other person. But there's so many people in the same situation that, and then they're just afraid to go and put themselves out there. But it's so important if you want to make those friends and like experience all those things, you have to just put yourself out there and get into an uncomfortable zone to get comfortable.
And you obviously started this so you can make friends, but yeah. It must be so rewarding when you see other people connecting and forming those friendships.
So the first day that I had Lost and Found in Sydney meetup, I bought 30 burgers and 30 cans of Coke Zero. I bought a gazebo. I bought a barbecue, bought a table. Like, it's a very expensive day. And I said, free barbecue on Coogee Beach. Come down, let's make some friends. And two people showed up. So I was there. I was so nervous because I was going on my own to see, you know, if anyone would come. And two girls came down and I was like, do you know what? It wasn't 30. I was eating burgers for like 2 weeks after that. It wasn't 30, but it was still two people that, you know, went out of their comfort zone, came down to this random meetup of a girl who had like 100 followers, all from probably Ireland, my own friends. And then each day after that, like every time that I was going, I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know who was going to come and I was going on my own. So if I can do it, everyone else can do it.
Now, you've also managed to do a lot of travel during your time in Australia. What's your advice to others who want to get out and see some of the country?
Just book the flight and go. Like, you can get really good priced flights on like Jetstar, Qantas. Get your Qantas points. So if you are looking to get a Qantas frequent flyer card, it's $99, but if you go on to Woolworths and get a Woolies Everyday Rewards card, you can get your Qantas frequent flyer card for free. So like, I've got a free trip to Melbourne before through my Qantas points.
Just from shopping at this?
Shopping at Kmart, Woolies, like there's a lot of things that add up the points. I'll do a little piece on how to get more points because everyone's always asking me about this. Actually, there's a guy called Fly Like Rye and he does loads of tips on how to get points. You guys should even go on and see it. But yeah, I've got to do loads with work. So working and traveling and nursing in the different states. But then just myself, like going to visit the different areas, going up to the Great Barrier Reef and scuba diving and loads of the different parts of Queensland and Victoria, the gorgeous wineries down in South Australia and Western Australia. And then this year in January, my dad came over. And it was so cute. So he came to Perth and then I brought him down to Margaret River and we did the wineries and the kayaks through Margaret River and I brought him to Rottnest Island and all the lovely bits of WA. And then went down to the Australian Open in Melbourne. He's obsessed with tennis. Oh my God, he was so embarrassing. It was nice to have my dad in the country to embarrass me though. It was good. And then up to New South Wales and to Sydney. And one of the like main things that we do is the sunrise meetups. And I get everyone to always line up in a row, hold hands and run into the water together because it's so cute. And it's so wholesome. I love it.
It is on Instagram and it's amazing. It the drones and the video, the sunrise.
God, we are so wholesome. But my dad did that with us as well. So there was like 20 girls lined up holding hands and my dad in the middle with like his t-shirt on running into the water. So then we did that. I brought him around New South Wales and I've got all these tips and advice on each of the states and territories and all the places that I visited in my travel guide on my Instagram. So like, you know, Sydney with a parent, you know, Jervis Bay, Byron Bay, Blue Mountains tips, like all over New South Wales and all over Australia. So after that, me and Dad went to Magnetic Island with Sunday Islands. I don't think he could handle the heat. He was just sweating, but he loved it.
The humidity, it's though, isn't it? That? Yeah.
They're the funniest photos of my dad, and it looks like he's literally been swimming and he's just walked inside of where we were staying. So we did that and then brought him to Brisbane, and then he left there. And I went up to the Northern Territory, which was amazing to see. Like, I swam with crocodiles in a cage. Don't worry, I wasn't swimming with crocodiles.
I was going to say pass.
But there, yeah, I don't want that. But there's like so many amazing bucket list items to do in Australia. I have actually Australia bucket list on my website as well in the Moving to Australia guide. So each of the, I've broken it down into each of the states and territories and all like the major things that you want to do in those states and territories. There's so much to see. You literally have to start as soon as you get here to try to fit it all in.
I feel like you're giving it a really good crack.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. That list is slowly getting ticked off. But yeah, with the Lions, I'll hopefully be able to cover a lot more of Australia and go back and tick off the other things from my list, because they want me to do a roadshow around Australia, which is going to be amazing. Like, I'm so excited just to even see like Lost and Found in Melbourne and Lost and Found in Perth people, and then maybe set up Lost and Found in Adelaide and Lost and Found in Brisbane. But what it's going to be is I'll travel around to the different branches in the different states and territories and work and live for like a short period of time there and show people what it's like to work in the hospitals, because it's all good me saying Adelaide's lovely, you know, the Barossa Valley and McLaren Vale and things like that. But what's the hospital like? What's the people like? What's accommodation like? So at least I can give like that proper insight into actually working and living there instead of just, you know, go and do this really nice touristy thing. So that should be fun.
And obviously, you have some great tips and things on there. I actually learned something from your Instagram page, and I had to look it up. I'm ashamed to say the spice bag. You did Sydney's best spice bag, so everyone back home would be going, "Oh yeah, that's explain for me to me what a spice bag is."
Spice bag is an Irish delicacy. So back home in the Chinese takeaways, there's a spice, you can get a spice bag. So it's basically chicken, chips.
That's the least most Chinese sounding food, chicken and chips. Like,
that is literally Irish Chinese takeaway, is like chicken, chips, curry sauce. Like, you know, that's basically what we eat. But I did, it was botany Chinese. So I went and did a Chinese takeaway review, and like, I hadn't done anything like that on my TikTok before. And it's on 540,000 views and like 20 something thousand likes. The abuse though that I'm getting on it, people are like, "This isn't Chinese food. What are you talking about?" And all the Irish people and English people are like, "This looks amazing. Oh my God."
Yeah, because anyone coming over, Chinese food is very different.
Go on and look at my recommendations. But I've done the searching for Sydney's best spice bag, and each of those videos are getting like 250,000 views as well, because people love spice bags. They love them.
Well, now I know what a spice bag is. Yeah, so thank
you'll
you.
Have to try it.
I will. Honestly. No, it looks good. It looks really good. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Rachel. It's been such a pleasure to catch up again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
If you like what you've heard today, why not check out Rachel's Instagram? You can follow her by searching Lost and Found in Sydney. While you're there, head on over to the Nursing Down Under Instagram page. If you have any questions, shoot us a voice note. We'll be playing those and answering your questions in a later episode. In the meantime, if you want to hear more about the opportunities for nurses in Australia, get in touch with the team at alliancenursing.com.au.